Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Truly again, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. How about you? Come on, let's give God a hand praise for his mighty goodness, for his greatness. We thank him for being an awesome God. We thank him because his mercies are new every morning. So the mercies that I got on yesterday left with yesterday, but because God is so merciful and so kind and so mindful of me, that he allowed me to see a brand new day with a brand new mercy. So what I did yesterday doesn't matter, because I'm walking in newness. I'm walking in a new day. I was forgiven for yesterday, and I'm walking in my today. How about you? Have you gotten forgiven for your yesterday? And you're walking in your new today? For yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus. And tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do the things that I need to do. For yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus. And you know tomorrow may never be mine. For my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. And that's what it is. It is one day at a time. If it be the good Lord will, I'll do this on the morrow. I'll do this on the next day. Shall it be the Lord will. Have you? I recall a conversation with my sister just a couple of weeks or so ago, and she said, come on now. When someone called and let her know that this person had passed, had transitioned, expired, and she said, wait a minute. I just talked to her last night. And she, what? She's gone. The woman had the night that she was in, but she didn't have tomorrow. Because when tomorrow came, yesterday was her last time in the earth, in the land of the living. Every day that God gives us, we need to make good, sure, and good use of each day that he gives us, because it is not promise to you to make tomorrow. No one knows about tomorrow but Jesus. Yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus. And tomorrow may never be mine. And watch this. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Yes, we make plans. That's the human side of us. But it is only God's mercy and his grace that allow us to continue with our plans. I had several plans, 22. Didn't get to fulfill any of the plans that my husband and I had for 22. But we made the plans in 21 for 22. But it didn't happen that way. Because all I'm I'm allowed is one day at a time. Woo! Sweet Jesus, this is your radio host, your blog talk radio pastor, Pastor Patricia Benjamin. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. And that's it. To God be the glory. Not my mother, not my father, not my sister, not my brother. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. I'm just so grateful tonight that I have Christ in my life. I am so grateful that I have Christ in my life. Where would I be without him? It would be so lonely, so dark, and so drear. That's why I'm grateful, truly grateful, that I have Christ, and he's in my, life. I am so grateful that I have Christ, hallelujah, Jesus, and he's in my life. Lord, I'm so grateful that I have Christ, Jesus Christ, in my life. Where would I be without him? It would be so very, so very dark. My God, can you imagine what you would be like without Christ in your life? Oh, my goodness, we as saved folk, we as Christian folk, we as the children of God go through enough with him in our life. And we experience some dark sides. But just imagine going through the valley of the shadow of death without God. Oh, my God. Going through the valley of the shadow of death without God in your life has to be treacherous. But going through the valley, hallelujah, Jesus, with God in your life, he is your God and light. He'll guide you through that tunnel of darkness. But the greatest of these, those that don't have Christ, they're coming out too. But the road is rough and the going gets tough. But those of us that have Christ in our life, he guides you into the path. Oh, bless his name. I thank God for Jesus on tonight. And I thank Jesus for his blood. As I sat this afternoon watching the service of the young man who was brutally beaten, and I listened to his brother have remarks, and the brother said he was so kind and such a nice person. So even when they were beating him, he asked them, "Oh, stop, stop." But they kept right on. They turned a The difference I see when they were beating on Jesus, he never said a mumbling word. And then later on you see where Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I watched the mother of young Kyrie, how she said, my son was here for a purpose. God allowed him to be born for a reason, for a purpose. Didn't know that his life, I'm paraphrasing, I'm putting it in my words, didn't know that his life was going to end so abruptly and so young, but he had fulfilled the purpose of which God allowed him to show up. And yes, something good is going to come out of it. But will it take away the pain and the sorrow? No. But something good, this young man's life will go down in history as an innocent man minding his own business, trying to go to his mother's house. And these corrupt men of the devil, that's what they were. The devil does this. God don't do evil. But the devil is full of evil. And the evil things that take place in this earth, the devil is the... Yes, we use. He uses whoever he will. Thank God that you haven't been chosen. And if you were chosen by the devil, the Lord interceded. He intervened on your behalf. No. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful God we serve tonight, people. I thank God for you, 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 and you that's listening. Been doing something else. One thing for sure, if you forgot to get on, someone will get on. They will go into the archives, and this message will be there for them. But God is so kind, so loving, merciful. He could let the young man live with internal injuries where he would have never come off of the ventilator or just be lying in a coma every day. But he blessed him death and said, that's enough. Come on home, son. Come on home. And the mother, the way she is interpreting his death, that his work, his purpose here was finished. So God brought him home. Did God orchestrate or set up the beating? No, he didn't. But for sure, God brought him home. The devil has no control over hell, death, and the grave. Jesus, please. Jesus has the key to life. And the devil can make you wish you were dead. And may cause you to do foolish things to yourself. But in the end, God is in control. Oh, bless his name. I'm excited again tonight. Excuse me. Those of you that's listening, that when you pray your prayer, please include my name. This enemy, the devil, doesn't seem to want to turn me loose with this respiratory situation here. I've had tests. I've tested for this, that, and the other coming back normal, but yet I have this cough. Used to smoke years ago. I quit smoking in 1988, and I had a cough very, very similar to this. But after I had stopped puffing, I mean smoking for, oh, I say 2-3 months. I stopped coughing. Now, I don't smoke anymore. I've not smoked a cigarette. I believe it was March the 18th of 1988. But I keep going back over in my mind, God, I had a cough similar to this one. And they called it a smoker's cough. Got delivered from cigarettes. But for some reason, the enemy wants to bring this cough upon me. So I solicit your prayers tonight that the Lord will intervene on my behalf and heal my body. And I thank God in advance, and I thank you all for remembering to pray for Pastor Patricia Penniman. Our mother Janie is not with us tonight. This is the first of the month, and she's with her church on the first and second Wednesday of the month. So I'm soloing out here tonight, but I promise you that I'm not going to keep you long. Every week I say that, and God gets stirred up, and he stirs up the gift on the inside of me, and I just, he keep flowing, and I keep flowing, and he keeps flowing, and I keep flowing until I get to the point to say, okay, I feel like Mr. Rogers, the TV guy who used to sing, it's a lovely day in the neighborhood. And then I think about Carol Burnett when she says, when her time is up to go off the air, I'm so glad we had this time together just to have a laugh or to sing a song. And we'll start it, and before you know it, say so long. But I'm glad I got Jesus down in my soul. I'll play a song for you tonight, and then we're going to read this 11th chapter of Mark or St. Mark, however way it's, you're comfortable in saying it. It's one of the Gospels. We're going to go into Mark's Gospel and read this, and then we're going to shut it down before I go into that coughing spell. And I may not cough at all. I'll try to keep my nose clear because my sister will let me know. Sissy, why did you keep doing that? I don't know, girl. I'm just trying to breathe. Oh, bless his name. She had me looking yesterday for cough syrup, just like a big sister would do. Display the love. Sissy, you got to do something about that cough. Why don't you see if you can find some Creole turpin? Google it. Look for some. That's what they used to give us when we were coming up as children. And that will help you with that cough and your sinuses that's draining in your throat. Look online, sissy, see what you can find. So we looked, and we did come across Creole turpin, and I didn't get back with my sister to let her know what I found. The name is still out there, Creole turpin. But what they had online, if Sissy's listening, was bottles, empty bottles, the bottles that the Creole turpin came in. Someone has some bottles when it came out before we were born, my sister and I. It came out, I believe some of the bottles go back as far as 1930. And 1940, that was long before we were born. And then we looked up Pitocin. My grandmother used to give us Pitocin. And I believe Vicks made Pitocin. Vicks is still out, but can't get any Pitocin either. So I have to rely on the Lord and the prayers of the righteous, the very effective effectual, fervent prayer, the scripture says, of a righteous man availeth much. So I pray that you all can get a prayer through. And don't forget that if you're connected to my sister Jackie, my sister-in-law, Brenda Benjamin, has a prayer time that if you need prayer any kind, you can, if you're not her Facebook friend or if you don't have her personal number, to send it to my sister's Facebook page, and my sister will be able to send it on to her. My sister-in-law shared with me a story this morning, and I'm going to go into a song and then the word, and we're going out of here. My sister-in-law shared with me, she wondered why she had to get up so early to pray. And I noticed when she writes stuff, she lets you know what time it is that she's texting or Facebooking. And she told me today that her son leave out early to go to work early in the morning. She wondered why God would have her up praying so early in the morning. On this one particular morning, the driver, her son, had to cross a busy street, and the driver didn't see him. But God saw him. Let me tell you about his mercies being new every morning. And when the car realized that it was someone in the road, he swerved and he missed my nephew. He could have been dead or paralyzed, whatever, the rest of his life. About the same time that his mother was calling his name out to God. It's no need of you going to church, beloved, if you're not going to learn how to do church things. You need to learn how to pray. You need to learn how to wake up and give God the praise and give God the glory. Because while you slept and slumbered, you could have been killed. While you slept and slumbered, slobbering and all of that, your house could have blown up. All of us have electrical stuff in the house. Someone could have crashed into your house and killed you in your sleep. But God allowed you to wake up in your right mind, your feet on the floor, able to use your limbs, the activity of your limbs, able to open your eyes and see that you are still in the same place you were, that you fell asleep, that you're in your house or wherever, in the hotel, could have been in the hospital. But God's mercy. But my sister-in-law said, when her son told her what had happened, the man stopped and jumped out the car because the man was shaken up, and he just wanted to know if the boy was all right. He didn't see him, but God never sleeps nor slumbers. You owe God a praise. You owe God everything that's in you for what he's done. And keep doing. He keeps doing it over and over and over. If you don't think he's doing it over and over again, look at how old you are. Look at how old you were when you started out. Zero age. Look at you now. 75, 80, 79, 68, 69. I feel like I'm playing bingo. 5, 4, 10, 9, 8, 6, 12, 24. Look at where you are now. You don't think God has been doing it over and over and over and over again? Oh, bless his name. But his life was bad. His mother was presenting his name before God. when she testified to me today of that, I thought about my own mother, how she prayed for me, that the devil would not destroy me, but God would get the glory out of my life. How many of you are existing today because somebody prayed for you, your grandmother? Maybe your mother prayed, or maybe your mom didn't know how to pray. But the neighbor across the street, when the neighbor said, Lord, everybody on my block, I want you to protect them and bless them and keep them safe. When the preacher stands in the pulpit and says, God, every one of the people under the sound of my voice, God protect them and their family. Well, you was included in that prayer. Don't you know when my sister is in her church and the preacher prays the prayer and said, God protect everyone under the sound of my voice and their family members or their loved ones, however way they put it. Don't you know that prayer bounced from my sister to me, to my brother, to my cousin, to my auntie? All my uncles are gone, but back in the day, it covered my uncles. Come on, people. Give God what belongs to him. All he said, praise me. David told you in the Psalms, praise ye the Lord. That's who should get all of the praise. But you want to praise your granddaughter. You want to praise your grandson. No praise. You want to praise the woman on your job because she brought you some chocolate chip cookies. The stove could have blew up. But I guarantee you, you didn't say, Lord, I thank you. You. I want to thank you for being so good to me. Oh, Lord, hey, Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you. Oh, Lord, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for being so good to me, so good to me. Hey, 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 Lord, I just want to thank you. Oh, Lordy, Lord, I just want to thank you. Oh, God, Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you. I do want to thank you for being so good to me. Let's go to, remember now we're going to Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter is what I've told you. I haven't given you a verse yet. But let's go to the music for the evening. And I send this out to all of you that are listening. God bless you, Mother Blondie. I love you. And I'm praying your strength in the Lord. I thank God for my South Carolina family. They keep me lifted up. Help me to run this race. I tell you, God is so good. I can't thank him enough. Let's listen to this song. Lord, I need you to hold my hand. Amen.
Come on, put your hands together one more time, baby.
Hold my hand. Don't
you find your religion, when you go on your knees and tell him, Lord, I need you. Let me see the hands of you that tell him, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you to hold.
Amen, amen, amen. That's the Jackson Southerners. Oh, Lord, I need you to hold my hand. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at verse 19. Let's do verse number 18. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all of the people were astonished at his doctrine. And you know, that does happen. People are afraid of the gospel. They are afraid of the word of God. And so they won't go to church because of fear. They said, I don't know what they be doing in there, and I don't understand what they're talking about in there. So church is not where I want to be. Now, if we back up just one verse, that was verse number 18. If you're following me, it said here in verse number 17, and he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. And that's a question mark there. But ye have made it a den of thieves. This frightened them with Jesus speaking so boldly about his house, his temple. See, somebody somewhere did not know. You don't know what my house should be called? You don't know that you're not supposed to be gambling and selling this and selling that in my house, turning it into a den of thieves where people are stealing? Somewhere it is not written that you didn't know this. That's what he's saying to them. He wasn't being mean or anything like that. He was just trying to say to them, look here, look. Is it not written? Come on. Is it not written? My house shall be called of all nations. Now, that's all nations. Don't care what nationality you are of or from, that stands everywhere. Everybody knows a house or a church. Oh, that's a church over there. You may not ever enter into the doors of that church, but you recognize the building. Nowadays, they're building them not like an A shape with a door that we're used to seeing, but they're building them square and all that because they've changed the blueprint, the structure, and they're pretty inside. They really look like a big warehouse all furnished and painted up, but they put a steeple on top. Most warehouses don't have steeples. But practically every church in the United States, and I've been out of the United States, but you know that that's a church because they have the high steeples. Some of them, the steeples are very high, and they have a cross at the very top of them. So you know that that's the house of prayer, whether they do a lot of praying and they are not, but Jesus called it the house a prayer. Is it not written? He's asking a question. I told you if you weren't reading, he was asking a question. Is it not written? Have you all forgot? Have you lost your mind? Do you realize what you're doing in my house? This is not your house. This is my house. I died for this, not you. And you're going to disrespect my house? Is it not written? Where you been? Where you come from? Because I'm sure that everyone knows by now that it's written that my house shall be called a house of prayer. Oh, bless his name. I don't see where it says a house of entertainment either, but it's called a house of prayer. Let me just help you out a little bit. And I see I started at 18, and I left you puzzled, wondering, well, why is Jesus saying that? So then I went up to 17 and let you in on a little secret here, because in order for him to say what he said in 18, he said it already in 17. But let's do 16. See, well, she's going backwards. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Now, 15, check 15 out. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now you see that. Not in his house. I've been to conferences and stuff, and they have vendors selling handkerchiefs and kerchiefs and aprons and all kinds of things, jewelry and shoes and hats and pocketbooks, all of that. But that stuff is not supposed to be sold in the house of prayer. So many of them will sell it outside of the house. They're out in the lobby at the hotel selling, but they're not in what they've designated for that week of service as the sanctuary. They're on the outside selling. Because Jesus got fiercely upset with them. And then you read 16, and would not suffer that any man carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes, that's where I started, verse 18, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, talking about Jesus. See, Jesus messing up their hustle. You don't come into my city, Jesus or no Jesus, messing up my hustle. This is how I make my money. It's how I make my little change. We got to do something about him. We got to figure out a way to get rid of this dude. Because he's raining on our parade. He come in here turning the tables over, running us out of here. Oh, no, we got to do something. See, they should have killed him when he was a baby. Because if they'd have killed him when he was a baby, we wouldn't be dealing with this dude anyway. Now we've got to kill him because he's messing up our hustle. So those scribes said, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. But see, them scribes was not happy with Jesus because he captivated the people. The people had a fear and said, well, who is this? They had not heard that you couldn't do this in God's house. Jesus had to let them know, no, 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 I'm not having this. The scribes don't care. But it's not the scribes' house. It's not the chief's house either. It's my house. Because he said, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. But the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, talking about the evening, when even was come, he went out of the city. Verse 19. Verse 20 says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. When the Lord cursed something, cannot be reversed. Amen. Amen. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, saying unto him, have faith in God. My God, today, what an answer. What an answer. Because he said, look, Peter, just have faith in God. Don't worry about what you see. Just have faith in God. And you'll say it again. Have faith in God, Peter. For verily, Peter, now that's not there. I'm just putting Peter, because he was the one doing the talking to Jesus. So Jesus tells him to have faith in God, and it's a period there, so that stops that sentence. But then Jesus goes on in verse number 23, said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, listen now, listen to this, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. My God, today. Remember last week, we were talking about the mountain, telling it to move. Well, here it is. I'm backing it up in Mark's gospel. But Jesus said, in order for you to speak to that mountain, Peter, and you can call yourself a Peter, Peter, you must have faith in God. That's your help. Faith in God. Not even in your own self, but have faith in God. Therefore, I say unto you, verse number 24, what things soever, underline that in your Bible or write it down, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe, that's the key word here, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We thank God for Jesus on this evening. The word of God is so good, and it's so right. Whatsoever things that you desire when you pray, believe them. It goes back to the other verse where Jesus told Peter to have faith in God. Come on. You can do the same thing if you got faith in God. You can tell that tree to dry up. You can do it if you got faith in God. That tree will wither up. You'll see it wither. The very next day, the tree had dried up. Jesus cursed the tree. Peter remembered that Jesus cursed the tree because the tree was hungry and the tree had no figs, no food for him to eat. So he cursed the tree, that one. He didn't curse all the fig trees. He cursed just that. Because had he cursed all the fig trees, then there would not be any figs at all. I know some people that like figs. I know some people that enjoy eating figs. I know some, I never liked that cookie. My sister liked fig Newtons. And my mom did. I couldn't stand them things. And I don't fool with them. But figs, I understand, are very good for you. But Jesus was hungry. And that tree had no figs. So Jesus cursed that tree. You don't want the Lord to curse you, do you? Because you have no fruit. He told you to witness. He told you to praise him. You have no fruit. I heard a man say today at the service of young Tyree, I heard him say that you never see the fruit tree eating its own fruit. And that's the truth. The apples don't eat their fruit. It falls to the ground. But the limbs don't bend down and pick it up and bite it. But you and I might pick it up and eat it. God is so good. He is worthy to be praised. I'm not hooping and hollering tonight. Sometimes God will get me out there that I can't help myself. But tonight he's got me in a quiet mode. Maybe because I'm full of cough syrup and can't get going. But no, the word of God is right, whether you whisper it, whether you speak with a normal voice, or whether you get excited and become very emotional about how it makes you feel. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I'm telling you, that's enough to get you excited. My sister-in-law said, I'm going to keep on getting up early, praying. Look at what happened by me being obedient, getting up praying like God told me to. My son's life was spared. And somebody else's life was spared because she just didn't pray for her son. She prayed for people at large. God, people all over the world. Honor their request. Because whatever's right, God's going to pay. So if you honor that God killed somebody, then look. He's not going to do. But let it just tell you. Oh, Lord, I need you to hold my hand. God give you an instruction. Follow it. He's God. She said it was no problem for her to get up and pray because of what God said. Sing a song. If you praise the Lord, he will bless you. And when he blesses, you ought to praise him. Oh, bless his name. And you know what? You can do a quiet, thank you, Jesus. But why don't you just holler out, thank you, Jesus. Because he said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. So come on, people. Get it right. Pause for a minute, because every now and then a cough want to come up. So rather than a cough on the air, put the phone on mute, go ahead on and get the cough out, then unmute myself and come back. Let me just read this and close. And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. And they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and said unto him, by what authority? See, that's the old devil. The old devil's coming, so don't be afraid. By what authority does thou these things, gave thee this authority to do these things? Oh boy, they really nosy, right? They're messed up. The fig tree just withered right up. The people gave him respect out of fear because they didn't know what spirit was operating, because they didn't know him, you see? Because had they known him, they wouldn't have been selling in the temple, because it was written that his house is a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. So now they got this fear. Now, they really are. Because is this a ghost, a witch, or what? Roll up. What we got here? We don't know who this is and how it's being done. Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question. Come on, Jesus. And answer me. Come on, Jesus. I love it. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus, bad, isn't he? The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not know, not believe him? Now, see, they're having a discussion like, well, what are we going to say? We don't want to say the wrong thing. But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. Oh, Jesus got them. See what I'm talking about? Jesus got them just where he was. They got all this smart mouth going to attack him, go Jesus, and ask him, who gave you this kind of authority to be doing what you're doing? Who are you? Where you come from? You know, boy from Nazareth? You will come around here and order stuff, tear things, come on here. Who are you? And who gave you the authority to do this? So, verse number 33, and it's the last, and I close. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answered and said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Well, see, they didn't realize. Jesus told them. Jesus told them, if you can answer my question that I'm putting before you, then I'll answer yours. So they chose not to answer him for fear, because they wasn't sure if they had it right. And they didn't want to mess up the great prophet, John the Baptist. So they said, well, we can't tell you. Jesus said, you can't? Well, then I can't tell you how I do what I do. I tell you, I thank God for Jesus tonight, and I thank Jesus for his blood. We're going to go to this closing song that's playing. I think he's singing, Jesus, keep me near the cross. I really do. God bless you. I'm going to see you next week. Oh, his grace and mercy brought me through.
Thank you.